Welcome back to this week's episode of Toys on Tap. We have a special one as we welcome back Elixir Toys to the toy scene. After a small hiatus dealing with stuff and in the personal life, we finally get to see Fun Gusting, Tuscarian, Thick Gusting all come back and be sold in the toy community. If you want more Toys on Tap, you can like, follow, rate, review wherever you get this podcast. If you want to jump on, you can jump on the socials at Toys on Tap, all socials. And if you want a little bit more of Toys on Tap, you can jump on the Patreon, patreon.com/ToysOnTap. For $3 a month, you can get episodes of the Nitty Gritty, which are extra time with each artist. So jump on to the Patreon. You don't want to miss those episodes. Now let's tune in to this week's episode of Toys on Tap.
What's up?
What up?
Dude,
can you hear me all right?
Yeah, yeah. I think this is episode 3 with you.
Yeah.
You're coming and going and doing all kinds of things and
we're here, I'm there.
We're here for it. Dude. we have a lot to talk about. I think we saw some like a speedy exit and then now a speedy return, and so we're here for it. We're here to like welcome you back.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it looked kind of speedy since it's on, you know, social media.
Yeah,
but you know, a lot of things happen behind the scenes for, you know, weeks to months. So you know, just to jump right into it.
Hold on, real quick. Please introduce yourself. Tell us who you are, what you do. That way people know who I'm talking to.
What's up, guys? I'm Mac with Elixir Toys. Some of you probably know me. Some of you don't know who the hell I am, but I do Sifubi figures. And some guy.
All right, man. We can share as much or as little as you want. Yeah. I have questions. Let's just dive in. Let's hear, because you're back. You're back. We were hoping that you would come back, and you did. So let's hear about this.
Yeah, man. So I am back. You know, to an extent. Yeah. I'm doing things a little bit differently now. Pretty much before is, it's one of those deals where I just got burnt out, and burnt out to an extent of like, man, I'm kind of just one out of this right now, and just, I don't know, I never felt that way before, so it kind of like scared me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, I gotta go, I didn't feel like I was forced to do this. And you know, it's just a bunch of different things, just, you know, mental health. And that's big shout out to that, guys. Always look out for your mental health, and you know, trust your gut instincts and all that. But I felt like the best way was to just kind of get out of it, leave, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm not happy, you know, this and that is what I told myself. And, you know, after months, you know, I started a coffee business up, I did this and that. And, you know, during that time, I kind of like learned a lot more about myself, did a lot of self, you know, reflection and growth. And it's not that I was burned out of toys or this and that. It was just a bunch of underlining things that I never took care of. And, you know, I handled it, still handling it, and found, man, I really miss doing the toys. I really miss, you know, my creations. I'd still have them in my office, you know, up there just looking at them and just like, these are badass figures, man. Like, mm-hmm. I love these. And I really think I felt like I had to come back, but I can do it differently now where I don't feel I'm rushing myself, where I need to do 2 or 3 drops a month, where I need to, you know, make everybody happy. And that was the big thing too. It's just, I'm trying to please everybody and, you know, just kind of do everything at the same time and not really think about it. Just do it.
Yeah.
Which is a horrible business tactic, by the way. but Yeah, other than that, I mean, it's just one of those things where, and to sum it all up quick, is just a little mental breakdown, and, you know, which is fantastic. I'm really glad it did happen because I just feel so much better now, man. I feel fantastic. I feel just so much more clarity, and I'm glad to be back.
Yeah. It's crazy to think that, I mean, social media does this like really cool and really awful thing all at once, especially when your account is just the toys that you've produced. You can't, no one can see anything behind that. And so it's chaotic, and there's so much stuff that could be going on behind the surface. But I think, like you said it, where it's like, oh, I got a couple monthly drops, I got this, and it's like, you could have been drowning and no one would have known. And I think that's like, I mean, for people that want to hide, social media is the best thing. People that feel alone and are currently drowning, social media sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy that you like hit these lows and only probably your closest people knew what was going on.
Yeah. And even then, man, like, I'm just not the type of guy to, you know, I wasn't just to show my feelings and talk about things. Like, I'm like, no, I can handle this. Like, you know, this is nothing. This is just, but, you know, I've changed that in so many ways now where I do reach out to people, and it's so important. Like, you can be macho man, oh, I'll handle this, this and that's this and that. But in reality, man, you have to talk to people. You can't just let things sit there and think they're going to get better later on. And, but you know, I don't like putting my problems out there. I think with like my page and Safubi, that's like a happy place for a lot of people who are dealing with those things as well. You know, I think collectors, which I'm 100% one of them, is we collect because it makes us happy, and you know, we are dealing with other things as well. So it's like, you don't want to bring that into the community and make it toxic and all that. But you know, privately, you should definitely talk to people, even if it's just for 20 minutes, or even reach out to somebody that you think maybe he's having a hard time, or, you know, let me just check up on him, you know, hey man, everything good, you're all right. And I think that's a big thing now, and I kind of want to, you know, push that out there as well, you know, going forward.
Take me back to when this kind of all started and when you noticed something might have been wrong.
Probably when I was rushing to get the Tuscarian done. And then there was all these shows and decon and all this. And it, like, I'm trying to plan to do this, real life work's getting in the way, you know, you're dealing with that. You're dealing with your personal life and all that. And it's just like, and I started getting just angry at dumb shit, just getting angry and just getting, you know, like aggravated, and realizing like, why am I getting aggravated? Like, why am I even doing this? If I'm going to be mad, and just, you know, these are spending a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of, you know, resources and everything to do this, to not be happy is wild. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And that's how I was looking at it, you know, and I wasn't looking at what was causing that, you know, you're just kind of looking at what's in front of you. Mm-hmm. But it was like, probably like, man, I would say like May, June, July, right around that area, summertime, where, you know, you get the summertime slumps and all that. Toy wise though, I was always selling very well, selling out, if not pretty much everything I wanted to hit my goals with. So it was never that, which is good too, to where it wasn't that. So, you know, it's like, oh, maybe just cause I'm not selling right now and it's kind of slow and all that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, it's such a weird thing. It's something that just slowly grows. It wasn't where I just woke up. It was just something I, again, should have just taken care of before, and I just never did.
Yeah. When did Tuscarian come out?
Tuscarian was later last year. I think it was like November or something.
Okay.
I believe so.
So we had Tuscarian come out probably November, and that's when it was like shortly after Tuscarian came out.
I did my first drop of Tuscarian, which went well, which was awesome. And then And that was it. I mean, I even sent some to Wonder Goblin for a collab, and I just kind of left it there. But he kept on to him. We're going to do something later on and all that. Cool. But yeah, man, I just remember that. Like, even at that point where, you know, if you know me, Wonder Goblin kind of got me into Sifubi. He's kind of like, you know, the guy I always look up to. Mm-hmm. And even when that, man, like, that's something you should be super excited about. Like, man, he did my Fungusting, my Thickusting, the Seer. And that's when you knew, like, man, there's something wrong here. So yeah. I had to step away from a lot of things and kind of, you know, go through some, you know, therapy and all that. Like, I'm not ashamed of any of that.
Yeah.
And really just get my life on track. And it's great. It's for the better. I feel so much better now.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, but it's because that's like, what, probably nine months. We're closing in on almost a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot can happen in a year. And I think I'm glad that you're on. And I think that there is a pattern that's happening right now, especially with what I've seen with toy people. And like, I talked about this in like early July-ish, maybe. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm done making toys for the time being. And the podcast is just where I'm focusing. Cause this like bout of depression came out of nowhere and just ate my ass alive. This summer, and kind of sent everything into a tailspin. And so it was like trying to figure out those different things and pulling out of shows and stuff. So I think there's a pattern that's happening. I wish I knew like what it is about toys or what it is about life. That's kind
of
like
virus of toys going around here.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just insane to think about. I think what was interesting about when I left it, it was like, who knows when I'll be back to make toys. But Mr. Elixir Toys here, when you left, it was all gone.
Dude, I shut down my 5,000K account.
Yeah.
I took, you know, everything down. I just, you know, I felt like that's the way I had to do it, was just get out of here and, you know, not even look at it, not focus on it. You know, obviously kept in contact with a lot of my close buddies on there and all that. But yeah, man, I did not think I was coming back. That's how low it was. I did not expect it at all.
Yeah. And I mean, the disheartening part about the conversation at the end is I remember when you were talking about selling molds and stuff. And in my head, I was like, I think we had talked, it was Fungusting or Thickusting, one of them. And it was like, this mold, like, I want that mold. And what was crazier is, I think my wife and I had talked about it, and I had told her, like, I don't want to produce it. I just want the mold. and she was like, well, that's crazy, because then you can't make any money back. Like, you're just spending money at this point. And because it became, like, early on with this podcast, you were on very early on, and then you came on a second time, and now this is the third time. And so you, like, at least for Toys on Tap, you were a part of toy history, and you were a part of that. And so to see that something like Tuscarian had come out, and then all of a sudden everything was disappearing, it was tough. So it was like, oh, how do I get a relic of this?
Right.
Yeah.
That's the thing, man. Like, that's how done I was. I was like, I'm gonna sell these off. Elixir Toys is done. You know, I can, you know, whatever. And that's how low it was, and that's how kind of crazy it was. Like, looking back at it now, I'm so glad that I was, you know, sat down by a really good buddy of mine. He's like, don't do that, man. Like,
yeah,
look at these things. Like, come on. Like, you need help. Obviously, there's something going on. Let's figure it out. Blah blah blah. And I'm like, okay, you know what? Let's just see what's going on. Let's see if you're right or not. And 100% right, man. He was like, oof, that would have been a horrible idea. Like, I would have probably regretted that for a very long time, you know? And so it all kind of worked out perfect. And, but yeah, it was at that point, man. I was just done. I was like, no one's even going to know Elixir Toys. That's just going to be like, oh yeah, some guy used to do toys. He had a cool, you know, mushroom guy.
Yeah.
And that was it. You know, it was, you know, that was just the feeling I was having then. And that's just how powerful, you know, depression and all that can really get. You know, it's crazy. You can throw everything away, you know, just thinking you're blaming it on that when it's in reality totally something different. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of the problems that can arise, you know?
Yeah. Tell me about the initial thoughts to come back, because there's probably some fear in there trying to figure out where some of this stuff comes from, and like possibly linking it to toys or possibly linking it to like busyness and stuff. And so tell me about those first conversations, either with yourself or others, about wanting to come back to the Sifubi world.
Yeah, man. So, you know, I was just kind of looking at everyone's figures and this and that. Saw some stuff on YouTube. Like, oh, that's pretty cool. I mean, you know, kind of getting into it. And after really like digging in to myself and everything, finding out my root problems and all that, you know, I have like a Sifubi kind of room, went into there and like stayed in there for like 2 hours, just like staring at stuff, looking at all the figures I have, kind of just going through everything. And just, you know, I'm listening to just some podcasts and stuff. And I'm just like, you know, this was actually a really happy time when I first started everything, and everything was fantastic until I hit that, you know, rut months ago. And, you know, I miss it. Like, you're holding your stuff. You're like, I miss it, man. Like, people love these things. I loved them. I love the community. You know, obviously there's some parts that are toxic, some parts that are great, this and that, but yeah. in reality, and you know, I think in the whole, it's a great community. And it just kind of clicked on me, like, you know, I want to come back, but it's such, you know, how hard it is to come back, where you're like, I'm gonna come back there and they're gonna think I'm a, you know, a fool, an idiot. Yeah. It was an idiot, crawling back.
Yeah.
It was funny. My name was still available. So I got my name back.
Which is so crazy, by the
which
way.
Which is wild, man. Somebody could have made a lot of money. And it's got my name. So I had that. And I'm like, you know, let me kind of think about it and see how I want to do things. And I have this whole, I tore up my old business plan. I have this whole new kind of business plan and how I want to do things, where just less stress and just, I don't know. It just seemed so great when I wrote it all down. And it got me excited to get back again. And it was scary. It was totally scary. You know, I made my page and I got like 10 followers at first. Like, all right, well, I'm done. I'm cooked.
Yeah.
And, you know, started just kind of catching on. I sent an email out and all that. And people are still, you know, following me every day now. Glad I'm back and all that, which is really nice to hear, man. That's huge. I was like, that's like moving, you know?
Yeah.
But, it just was kind of, I'm going to make this, I'm going to try it out. I'm going to do it for me. You know, if I get back to where I was, fantastic. If not, you know, it's okay. I'm all right with that.
Yeah. I mean, the thought is that we are potentially going to see a masterclass in what it looks like to start over and come back stronger. And,
yes.
Which is incredible. I think that there's something to be said about having enough courage to know when to stop, and then also enough humility to say like, no, I did like that. I can come back.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree, man. It's, and that's it. And the biggest thing I took about it is I'm not going to worry about what others think.
Right.
And just do my thing, and I'm going to do it how I want it. You know, I'm starting to do serial numbers online, starting to make
hell yeah.
Metal card COAs and everything. I'm starting to do it into like, I'm just making it into the most premium product that I feel is fit for the people, because you're spending your hard earned money.
Yeah.
It's a collectible. Yeah. You love it. It's art, but you're still spending money.
Yeah.
And you know, I want something where people, they're going to love it, man. Or they're just going to be happy. They're going to open it and be like, man, this is fantastic. This is great. Yeah. I don't want to just be a schlump pumping them out. Boom, boom, boom. You know, three drops a month, which was fine. I mean, it was great starting off, but now I'm just a little more relaxed, and kind of, I've been in the game long enough now where I kind of know where I want to be and how I want to structure everything.
Yeah. what is cool about almost having this clarity and this like idea of like wanting to do it for self, now there's nothing, like there's really no hindrance, right? Like if you didn't sell something this week, it's like, it doesn't matter. Like this is for me now. Right. And I think that the part that, I don't know, a lot of us lose, myself, like we just lose the idea that this is not really for everyone. It's for us. And it just so happens that other people love what we do, which is awesome. And I think that's where like the love and joy and everything just gets sucked out of us so quickly.
Yeah. 100% agree with that, man. 100%. And it's, and you don't go into this looking to get rich. You don't go into this looking, you know, you're going into it to sell enough to make another batch for everyone to be like, man, this is awesome. Everyone's together. We're all talking about it. You know, you meet other artists, everyone's just connecting and networking, right? And you lose that, you know, then you turn it into a competition, or you're like, man, why didn't I sell out of this? I don't know. Cause you have, you know, 50 fucking figures over $100. Maybe not everyone can afford it right now. Like,
right.
What kind of selfishness is that? Like, you know, and that's kind of how I was getting to. And, I mean, just, you know, this drop here, it's crazy. It's like, I have, I don't know, 400, 500 followers right now. And it's usually, I'm just like on Instagram right now too. Nothing else really. And I sold, I think I got like 10 left and I had 50. So it's like, it's huge for me. That was like, wow, I'm so grateful for that. You know, like what a nice thing to have, you know, and it's, you lose that once you go deeper in and once you're seeing other, and the biggest thing is you're seeing other like, almost like corporate kind of businesses going at it, you know, with art toys and this and that. And you're like, oh, I got to be like them. I got to, you know, cause, you know, buy this now, you know, urgency. And that in its own right, trying to do that is just hectic. And you lose the way slowly, chips at you, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm in such a good place now where I'm just, you know, I know exactly what I want, what I want to do. I'm fine with the outcome no matter what. And that's the biggest thing is you got to be fine. If you sell them, great. If you don't, that's fine. Figure it out, you know?
Absolutely.
You got time.
Take me back to Tuscarian. Because that was, if we can just like brag, that piece is massive. It's a huge piece. And not priced appropriate. Like it could be way more expensive. Like that piece.
Screwed
is,
up on that.
No, it's just, it's so good. It's massive. Like, if I remember correctly, it's 9 inches tall.
Empire Blister. Empire Blisters. Specializing in action figure blisters. 3.75 inch or 1.82. 19 different styles. Two sizes of clamshell figure cases. Four different bulk pack options. Quantities of 100 sample packs available. Empire Blisters.
Now functional Toys on Tap.
That means a 10% off coupon on checkout. Use code Toys on Tap 10. That's TOYSOMTAP 10.
Empire Blisters.
Yeah. It's
And I feel like it's almost 9 inches wide as well, because the arms.
Yeah, it's huge, man. It's it's built like his daddy. So it's friggin'.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Big, it's a massive. It's heavy.
Yeah.
You know, the arms move. Like, this is my most expensive to produce. It was to get it done. Don't mind that I'm doing like little tattoos on it with my engraver there.
But, oh, we're gonna talk about that, because I have some
questions. Yeah I don't know if I have all the answers, but I'll try.
Okay.
But yeah, man, Tuscarian, what a figure, you know?
You
what a,
are not kidding, dude. What a figure. Like, is. Holy hell. I think so. That piece came out, everyone was floored. Usually when toys come out, there is having a show like Toys on Tap, I get both sides. Like, I can, people have reached out and like, have you seen this? I don't love it. Have you seen this? It's amazing. And it's usually all about the same toys. For you, nothing but love. Cause it was like, everyone was floored when that piece came out, because it was so well done. Sculpted by Motley Miscreations.
Yeah. Rhino Arts helped do the design.
Yeah.
Motley sculpted this bad boy, which shout out to him, man. He had to do a lot of re-editions because just to get this thing pulled, we had to change a lot of, you know, things. Yeah. And then pulled by Mad Monk himself. And
insane.
Yeah, and it's so different than the other ones, you know. I think a lot of people were surprised with that. Is it's not like the horror mushroom, the seer, and all that. This one, yeah. So you got a good guy now. You know, you got Tuscarian. I don't know, man. I don't know how I came up with this. It's just something that came into my mind.
Yeah.
Probably saw some documentary on walrus, said, you know what would be badass? It's like a walrus warrior, man.
Hell yeah. And I think as a pause there, the cool thing about the toy world is like Rhinos, he's won, correct? I don't think I've ever met him.
Yeah.
Has won some giveaways from us, which is cool. And I've interacted with him a little bit. Motley Miscreations sculpted my Astron figure. Awesome. And so it's like, we're all connected in these fun ways. But this piece comes out and when it first comes out, it's this mad dash. Like you announce it, you tease it, and then all of a sudden it's here. And it was behind the scenes, probably weeks, months, but on social media, it was like days. And so it comes out, you do a mad dash, I'm assuming to get ready for shows and stuff. All the while, like just being drained, just being like at your low point.
Lowest, dude, literally the lowest of my life.
And
that's the craziest thing.
So, I mean, kind of walk me through that little piece right there. Being at the lowest, like at that moment, are you hoping that when this figure comes out, you're going to feel better? That you're going to like find joy for this stuff again? Like what's going on in that? Because then it comes out and you start releasing like crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And it did well. It did great. So pretty much I was just, man, I felt like I missed out on it because I should be so excited. Now it's just like, yeah, it's a good figure. Hope it sells. Hope it does good. This is a big figure. This and that. I'm thinking of these other things instead of how this amazing figure came out, you know, instead of, you know, people are talking about it and they're loving it. You know, because it is something totally different than what I usually do. It's a huge, big figure. But I was more worried on, like, you know, how's it going to do? Is it going to do good? Or am I just wasting my time? This and that. Like, I was not in that mindset at that time. That was the worst part about it. And this is, Tuscarian is probably my second favorite out of all of my figures. Sun Gusting, number one, obviously. But, you know, Tuscarian has a little more meaning for me personally. Mm-hmm. And I was just, I think that was one of my biggest regrets too, is just how I missed out on being happy about that release, you know? And that kind of just, I could have probably done a lot more. I could have still sent it on to shows and everything and, you know, done that, but I was just, you know, my own, you know, worst enemy.
Yeah.
So,
and yeah, there was some joy in there a little bit, even if it like you probably didn't feel it the most, because I remember I think I had asked you about that mold and I was asking what was going on and you'd said you're leaving, but you were keeping the Tuscarian mold. And so it was like in the back of my head, it was like, oh, you're coming back. Like you don't keep a mold like that and not come back. That's crazy.
Right.
And you did something that was pretty shocking as well. You like passed it off to someone else to run it or someone was selling. You could still get the Tuscarian through someone else, even though you weren't there.
Yeah, so I sold the remaining stock to Kachina. I sold pretty much the remaining stock of all my Sofubi to Kachina since he's painting them and I trust him, you know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we did a deal for that. And I've had quite a few people, even, I won't say anything, but like bigger companies ask about the mold for Tuscarian. And even with that kind of money, man, I couldn't let him go, man. He was just, there's something special about him.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a little piece of, what if I ever do come back? You know, I have to have something. And this was like the perfect figure, in my opinion. When you see it in person, it's just so much. It's It's amazing.
Yeah. And what's crazy about this is that, like, me, I would have been like, yep, that toy's gone. Someone offers me a lot of money, like, have fun. especially in that moment. Like, I remember early this summer, I wanted to burn the world down, everything in it. And so to see that you had clarity in the midst of what was happening is already insane, that you were still able to say, like, no, I can't fully let go.
And I don't know how, man. I just had that just a little bit of don't, like, just don't.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those things where, you know, maybe I really thought about it and talked myself out of it, I would have, but I just kind of let it go and, like, whatever, just put it in the bin and whatever, you know. But yeah, it's crazy. I think I really do love this figure, man. And it's just, I think it's a bigger scale of, it's part of Elixir Toys where, you know, something in my subconscious mind's like, dude, don't do it. Like,
yeah.
There's light at the end of the tunnel, man. There's something out there.
Yeah.
So I was shocked. I'm very happy that I didn't sell it off though.
Yeah. So tell me about this re-entry in making a premium toy, going from, classifying Sifubi as a premium toy is really fun. And I like the idea that could go that way. Tell me about this desire to make the best toy possible that you get for the money that you spend.
Right. Yeah. I mean, so with all my figures, I mean, if anyone knows Mad Monk, he's an artist as well. They have amazing Sifubi pullers and they know what they're doing. My toys, all of them are, you know, they're good. A lot of them have weight to them. I've never, knock on wood, ever had a flaw with any figures that came in for me. Never, never had a problem. So they're already, in my opinion, the best that I would ever want to sell a figure at.
Mm-hmm.
And the premium wise is, I'm just more of a premium unboxing for them, where you're just getting some extra things. Like, I'm kind of doing more where I'll always still do, you know, header cards for some figures, but I do want to start maybe putting these in like some sort of really nice bag, you know, something like that. I'm still kind of figuring it out because he's so big, and I think people, they don't want to just leave him in a bag, you know, anyways. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to figure something out. But, you know, I'm adding little things like engraved keychains. I'm adding, you know, COAs to everything. I'm doing, it's just going to be a nice, when you open it up, it's like your birthday. It's like, man, look at this. Like,
yeah. You know?
And I'm trying to stick with the same price point where I've always been on the, in my opinion, the lower end for what you're getting. And you know, you can only do so much, especially now with inflation and everything. Everything's kind of getting to a point where it's higher. So I did have to bump up some things, but that's just how it goes. But you know, it's what you're paying for, you're gonna be happy with.
Yeah.
You know. And the quality wise is, it's always gonna be perfect. Like, I'm not gonna send a flawless toy out there, something wrong, you know. If anything ever came in like that, I'd send it to an artist to paint up or something, but you know, but premium wise, you'll be getting just more stuff with your figure. And you know, I got a lot of things in my mind that I'll come out later on, probably early next year.
Yeah. Which, can't wait to see that. And the unboxing of things is so important. And I think I've talked about it on here a lot, that sometimes I get distracted by the packaging. I get distracted by the unboxing. Yeah. And then it's like, oh, also your toy is really good, but like, good job on packaging. And I think that unintentionally packaging kind of gets just thrown to the wayside sometimes, because we have such a cool item that may have cost us a lot and we just want to get it in people's hands, instead of thinking through what that could look like. And it's cool to see that. I'm really excited for the COAs that are, you said, on metal, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. Which, they're on metal.
Insane. Like a COA on metal that's engraved, that has a serial number. They look great.
and done by me too. Like, this is all, I'm trying to do everything. And that's another thing too, is I'm trying to do everything, you know, by me. So yeah, it's just all coming from me. I kind of redid my office to this little workshop. And so that's another thing, is I'm not just paying all these other people to send me this and that. I'm trying to do everything in-house as well. And that's going to help a lot with getting things out faster. And just, you get that little touch of homemade, you know, yeah, dealio.
Which is incredible. And I want to talk about one piece that you've started adding into it that mm-hmm. I haven't seen done before. And it looks absolutely insane. Engraving Sufubi. So the, like, I don't even know where to start. The fact that it's soft vinyl, which is some yeah. gooey plastic chemical or something, and you're able to still do that without going all the way through it is insane. Yeah. Because, I mean, you would know this, like, you overheat it too much and this thing is going to, like, shrivel. It can tear, it can do all kinds of things. So mm-hmm. tell me about this. I mean, one, the first one that you put under the laser, how nervous were you? But also, like, tell me about this new thing that you're doing with your Sufubis.
Yeah, so I got an engraving machine. It's a laser engraver and, like, cutter. And I was going to do it for mostly just kind of little extras to send with, you know, the figures. But I'm like, you know what, can I do it on this Sufubi, mm-hmm. you know? And I started kind of looking it up, doing some research, and people are doing it on this plastic and this and that, but I haven't seen anything, like, with, you know, real soft vinyl or anything. Well, figures at least, like toys. So I'm like, all right, let me try it out. Let me mess with the settings and stuff, you know? And I started with the orange from Gusting.
Yeah.
And I just started, you know, using different settings. A couple of them where you just, like, you know, burn the hell out of it and just, like, all right, well, that's not good.
Yeah.
Change this up. And finally I got it where it's, I can get it on perfect. Now, some of them, like the lighter colors, it's a little bit hard because if they're, like, kind of rounded edges, it's, mm-hmm. it's a little difficult, but it can work. It works fine. I think luckily my Sufubi is thicker, so that helps a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, it's engraved there. This thing is not coming off.
Yeah.
You can do it with or without paint.
Yeah. The paint makes it show up so well.
Mm-hmm. And then
it's just
on, dude. It's not coming off. And you can go darker, you can go lighter, but I thought about it. I'm like, man, I want to, you know, you can paint tattoos on them, which look fantastic. I love those toys that have that.
Yeah.
But I'm like, what if you engrave it? Like, why not? Like, I have an engraver. Like, what if I could just do that?
Yeah.
And it took me a few hours to get the settings right.
Yeah.
And I'm still sure I can critique it some, but yeah, man, it's something different. That's for sure.
It's crazy because you can feel it on there. Which I think I like that as opposed to...
We interrupt this broadcast of Toys on Tap to bring you this. Meanwhile, in a galaxy of bootleg treasures.
DOV2, we have engine failure. We must crash land on DKE Toy Planet. Oh my, we're doomed.
Wait, salvation. Hooray, we're saved, DOV2. Limited edition custom artist-made action figures and DKE toys.
Check out www.dketoys.com for a full catalog.
Hooray for custom action figures.
DKE.
Like water transferring stuff on or like painting it on. There's something about the idea that you can run your finger over it and feel it. And that with a laser and a machine doing it, that it's perfect every time.
Right.
And that's a new thing that I haven't seen. And so I'm really pumped to see what that looks like. As far as like, I don't like starting something new. Every once in a while you see someone that does something new. And this is, I think, going to be another new one that's really cool and no one has seen it yet. So I'm excited to see like the gang member versions of your soft vinyl toys yeah, that right? are about to come out. with that, with, I mean, I have questions that even kind of go along with that, because you took one of them and you were like, let's just do test runs on this, which it's a mold that's already been paid for. Like, you already have the fungusting, everything. Mm-hmm. To put that Tuscarian underneath that laser, that seems like a scary little trial.
That was, you know, that's why I butchered the hell out of the fungusting. And then when I was comfortable enough, I'm like, all right, you know what, let's try the big boy, because this is the main one I'll probably start doing, because, you know, he's got the arm space, he's got the stomach, the chest, like, he's got everything there. So, you know, it's funny. I remember it because it was like, it wasn't too long ago, because I posted it up right after, and I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to do it. Put it under the laser, put it in there. I walked out of the room. I just went and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go do something. I'm going to go check the mail.
Yeah.
I'll come back and we'll see what happened. And dude, I was pleasantly surprised. I was super like, well, okay, it worked. Like, yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. Cause that's, I mean, awesome. Laser cutting is really quick sometimes, especially if it's a small design. And so there is a real chance that you ruined a $150 piece really quickly.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, okay, so here's the part that I am. So, like, is this something that you are now, if someone comes to you and they're like, yeah, I want to do this, you're going to say, yeah, I'll show you either how to do it, or I will do it for you and you just pay a fee. Like, how is this going to work now? Cause it's new that people are going to come to you.
And I mean, I'm sure somebody else out there is doing it, or other people are doing it. I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
But, you know, but for me, if they have a laser engraver, they want to get one, you know, a good one's like a couple $1,000, which some people are like, yeah, no, I'm not going to do that for that. But, you know, but I would definitely show them how. I mean, I'm not going to hide anything. Like, here's the settings that I use that seem to work fine for this. If they want something done, I think after, you know, within like another month, I'll start doing that. I'll feel a little more comfortable. I'm going to first do it on all my figures and, you know, make sure I know what I'm doing before I mess with somebody else's stuff.
Yeah.
I would definitely, you know, do that for sure. 100%.
Heck yeah.
People reach out for, you know, the keychains and things like that.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about it like that. Never thought, I'm like, no, I could do other people's stuff as well, you know?
Yeah. Which is cool. Cause it's like, it's, once the settings are done, it seems like a set it and forget it type situation, which is cool.
It is.
Yeah. The only issue that I, in my brain, that I think about is like, I've seen a Glowforge before and how they operate. Like, you close the top and it moves and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. My thought is like, what do you do with Sufubi that can't balance? Like, you want it on a certain thing, but you can't balance it correctly. And so it has to move and like, still do the design.
When you get to that, like, luckily I do mine in parts, but if like you get to that point, there's a few different like they call them jigs where you can put it on there and they'll move with it. I got the X-Tool F1, so pretty much I'll just leave that the whole lid open, put this on there with this like little makeshift wood block. I'll have it like on there if I need to get a certain angle and this and that. Yeah. It is definitely a learning curve, and there's still, you know, that is something that I will run into with, especially like weird toys and bigger toys. So, you know, I will invest in something bigger later on, I'm sure. But, you know, there's ways around it. You just gotta be patient. That's the biggest thing. Just be patient. Think about it before you ever start engraving anything. First, think about it. You know, it's a really nice, I use the creative space from X-Tool, and it's really nice where they do the framing. So you can kind of see exactly where it's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with these, just always have like 4 or 5 different things to practice on just before you start anything that's, you know, that you're going to sell.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's ways around it. It's just, you know, obviously you can't do everything, but, you know, for what I'm doing, it's working out pretty good.
Yeah. As the last kind of part, what's next or upcoming for Elixir Toys now that you're back and potentially in full swing again with whatever you've got coming?
Yeah. So I'll never like the worst thing I ever did was like post like, all right, guys, I'm gonna be posting 3 toys a month, this and that.
Right.
My stuff's gonna be, you're gonna get an email, you're gonna get a IG, you're gonna see on IG, hey, this is coming out. It could be a month, it could be 2 months, it could be, you know, whenever. That's how it's gonna be from now on. But the next thing I am working on is I think I'm gonna do a heat color changing on one of my figures.
Yeah.
Where, you know, it's cold, it's blue, you take it out to the sun or under hot water and it turns, you know, a different color. I think I'm gonna do one of those for sure. And, you know, I definitely wanna do something with Tuscarian, something big. So I gotta figure that out because again, he's not a cheap figure and he has so much mass to him that you gotta kinda how are you going to paint under his arms, this and that. You want it to be perfect. I'm working on some ideas for that. But, I mean, I'm going to have, you know, next Fungusting. We got Sears coming. The Sear needs this. People need to love the Sear. Mm-hmm. I have people who love it, and people are like, oh, you know, it's okay. But the Sear is, I think, one of my favorite figures. It's something that's totally different. It's creepy. It's kind of like a – I don't know how to explain it. Just, it's a really cool figure. So I really want to get that out there more. I didn't push it as much before, but now I kind of want to, you know, have the people see the Sear. Mm-hmm. And I also want to plan on maybe, are there any shows coming up this end of this year? What's next?
I mean, Designer Con's always a big one. Now it's in Vegas. There's one. E2K is doing one. A kaiju show.
Okay.
Actually it might have already happened. I don't know. It's August, so maybe or September.
That would have been perfect for Tusky Boy, man.
I know. Kaijufornia is coming up. It's in it's like an hour away from San Diego. It's in a brewery, I think. I know that Tagfest is probably gonna come back. Which is Toy Art Gallery's thing, I think. And then there is Kaiju Go in Texas. Which I know that Last Bastion will be there. I think
they'll love be there.
It's crazy. I didn't think I knew that many things off the top of my head. That was crazy. That's
perfect, man. I gotta do some more research because I do want to have more of a show presence and have them out there because I am secluding myself a lot to just the internet where in person, whenever I bring it to like, you know, D-Con and all that, they always sell out. So I don't know why I'm not, you know, doing that more often and connected with more people there as well. Probably because, you know, in that bad place, you don't really think about that. But now I'm ready to get out there and kind of, you know, enjoy it a little bit more.
Absolutely. I mean, the last part that we are always here for the artists is to plug everything that you got going on, how we can get those figures, all that stuff, if your website, all that. So please plug away, man.
Yeah, man. So, you know, I'm on Instagram, Elixir Toys. You can message me there. You know, I'm always available. www.elixirtoys.com is where I do my drops. Sign up for the email because sometimes I'll do a special email drop or lottery drop on there. And and I'll start posting when I'm going to cons and then all that. And if you're interested in any of the figures, let me know. A lot of the stuff, it's what I put up and that's kind of it. But sometimes I'll do a custom here and there.
Yeah. Dude, thank you so much for coming back on Toys on Tap and for coming back in general.
I appreciate it, man. I'm glad to be back. And I love Toys on Tap. You know, it's my favorite podcast. It had a few other people want to talk and all that, but Toys on Tap is the best. I mean, you talk to everybody, man, from scales, from small to large, and it's fantastic.